You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio. What am I longing for? It's some happiness.
What am I longing for? It's some happiness. So is happiness an economic indicator? Is it misery? Yesterday we spoke to Tom Barefoot. He's co-coordinator of Gross National Happiness USA, and we asked him about the limitations of economic measures like gross domestic product.
It's getting beyond the gross domestic product, that drumbeat that you hear on the news is the measure of how are we doing every day, and switch to other measures which tell us something about how are we doing together? How are we doing taking care of the planet? How are we doing spreading well-being around?
And many of you had a lot to say about this. One listener wrote at our website, tell the United Nations that life and liberty come before happiness, and even then the U.S. government only allows for the pursuit of it, not the issuing of it, as if they could. The people in North Korea all look incandescently happy. Maybe that moment of silence for Kim Jong-il at the U.N. was well-deserved. And another listener texted this, regardless of the outcome, pursuit of happiness is satisfying a basic human need by itself, and thus justified. We have a slightly different take this morning from our next guest, Eric G. Wilson, professor of English at Wake Forest University, also the author of Against Happiness in Defense of Melancholy. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
It's been how many years since you wrote Against Happiness?
4 years now.
And are you still, I was told by my producers that your Skype handle, you're joining us by Skype, is Against Happiness as well. Are you against happiness?
Well, I'm against a certain kind of happiness. I'm against a kind of happiness that I see in America quite a bit. It seems that American happiness is often not pursuit for a deeper, richer, fuller life, but pursuit of a life without pain, pursuit of a life of contentment. We see this with our overemphasis on cosmetic surgery, for instance, or our overemphasis on gated communities, both based on the idea that we can sort of escape decay and agitation and danger. So I would say that in America, there's a sense that we can have all up with no down and all light with no dark. We can be happy all the time. This leads to an attenuated existence. It's like a half-life.
So, but that almost sounds like it's not necessarily against happiness, but an argument over what real happiness is, that money or good looks can't bring you real happiness.
To a certain extent, yes. In my book, I make a distinction between happiness and joy. If happiness is a desire for a kind of single state life of contentment, joy is one pole of a great antagonism between joy and sorrow, based on the idea that we can't really know what light is without the darkness. We can't really know what joy is without sorrow. In my book, I argue for the virtues of melancholy. I distinguish it certainly from clinical depression, but I talk about how when we're melancholy, yeah, sure, we often feel agitated, insecure, disoriented, not at home in the world. But if we're patient with that feeling, we often try to figure out things on our own. We often go within and become more introspective and discover things about ourselves we never would have had we not been sad. And that often leads us to try to come up with new ways to be in the world, new habits. Moreover, we often open up to the suffering of the world more intensely when we're sad. We empathize with others. So there's an ethical dimension to embracing our melancholy side as well.
Eric G. Wilson, professor of English at Wake Forest University, also the author of Against Happiness in Defense of Melancholy. I mean, you heard the listener who distinguished between being happy and the pursuit of happiness as it's enshrined in our founding documents. Do you think the pursuit of happiness is a not worthwhile pursuit?
Well, it depends on how one defines happiness, certainly. I do think that life at its fullest is that we are occurs when we are absolutely in pursuit of something. For me, it would be just a deeper, fuller, richer life open to both sides of existence. If that's what happiness is for someone, then certainly I would be all for that. I mean, there's just a very long history of philosophers and artists who mined their melancholy, for their art, for their thought. It just seems to me that to reduce life only to the pursuit of happiness can be a bit, again, one-sided. I think that we're most alive maybe when we are so happy we want to cry, or we're so sad we want to laugh. We're at kind of the closest edge of existence then.
I mean, I don't mean to be a Pollyanna here, but it seems to me that melancholy and sadness and misery is unavoidable. And it's often very, very easy for people to complain or not recognize when they are happy, to always find something that's wrong with their own situation. So perhaps the pursuit of happiness is something that people at least need to strive for instead of not truly appreciating what they have.
I absolutely agree with that. Pursuing happiness, however, if one believes that one should be happy all the time, and I think there is a lot of pressure in America in particular, the country based on the pursuit of happiness. The idea goes, if I'm an American, well, I should be happy. I live in a great nation. Sure, we're in a recession now, but it's America. In 2005, there was a survey that showed that 84% of Americans think they're happy, or at least somewhat happy. This is during the two wars and the implementation of the Patriot Act. So I think if you go through life wanting happiness all the time, you're going to be frustrated because you're not going to be happy all the time, or you're going to blind yourself to realities of life, which, of course, as you say, life has a lot of suffering in it, and we need to face that honestly as well. I'm certainly not in favor of complaining. I'm in favor of honestly facing the world as it is and trying to make the best of it.
You're sounding very zen here, Eric. It sounds like you're saying be in the moment.
That there is a big emphasis in my book, even though I don't talk about Taoism or Zen Buddhism. I think there is a sense that we are most alive when we are open to the complexity of life, the ambiguity of life, not trying too hard to control life, not trying too hard to define it and make sense out of it. Again, I think when we can leave behind all our 10-step plans and our self-help plans, that's usually when we feel most alive.
I guess you can't have the coast down the hill unless you've climbed up it on the other side. Eric G. Wilson, professor of English at Wake Forest University, author of Against Happiness, In Defense of Melancholy, and he has a new book, Everyone Loves a Good Train Wreck. Eric, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was good to be on the show.
We want to get your stories as well of happiness or misery. 8778-MY-TAKE.
He didn't sound too happy about being on the program.
I thought he was happy.
We made him happy. We probably ruined his day.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.